I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothy McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Australia is a country rich in history and culture. Australia's natives, known as Aborigines, are believed to have travelled across the sea from Indonesia 70,000 years ago. Europeans arrived in the 16th century. The Portuguese were first followed by the Dutch and then the English. As a continent, Australia is actually physically similar in size to the USA, Europe and China. But even as it is a big country, it is one of the most sparsely populated in the world. There are quite a number of nomadic Aborigines living in many areas of Australia and have been living on this wide brown land for thousands of years. Australian wildlife has a reputation of being cute and cuddly animals. Some of these fascinating animals include kangaroos, koalas, possums, dingoes, and Tasmanian devils. Additionally, there are only two species of monotremes in the world, and Australia is home to both of them. The echidnas, a type of spiny anteater, and the platypus. Australia, like most other places in the world, has its own myths and legends. Some of them come from Aboriginal Dreamtime stories, like how the Kookaburra got his laugh and Waltzing Matilda. The origins of many are unknown. Some legends were written into poems and songs, which in turn evolved into legends as well, and in the telling, the poets themselves also became legends. Modern Australia is host to people from all over the world. Indeed, the country is home to some of the world's most talented people. In literature, the author Patrick White is a Nobel Prize winner, and fellow authors Peter Carey and Thomas Keneally are recipients of the famed Booker Prize. In opera, Dame Joan Sutherland is Australia's best known diva. She was the undisputed coloratura soprano of her time. Nellie Melba was the world's biggest opera star at the beginning of the 20th century. In cinema, Australia is home to Oscar winners Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. Musically, the country has produced famous bands such as the Bee Gees, AC/DC, INXS and Midnight Oil. In 1993, Sincere Truth Seekers invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to make a stopover during her 1993 World Lecture Tour to share her wisdom and insights about God and spirituality. Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously accepted their invitation. Please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled, You Are the Supreme Master, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Brisbane, Australia on March 20th, 1993.
We would like to introduce someone who would like to speak about his experiences, what's happened with him after initiation. And I know when he speaks, everything what he says is coming from his heart, which is true and loving. I'd like to introduce Martin Sebastian now.
It is a great honor for me to be here tonight and to be able to speak about Master Ching Hai. First thing I noticed was that the booklet that Master Ching Hai was distributing to us in a vegetarian restaurant was free. That struck me as something very sincere, because most other things in life, unfortunately, are not for free. I cannot stress enough the importance of a method to communicate with yourself, with God, and the importance of finding a direct channel through which to do it, to find enlightenment. For most people, it is, including for myself, impossible to do so through my own self. And I realize that I need a guide to do this, a guide who pulls me up. And this guide is Master Ching Hai. Thank you very much.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to get to know you. Otherwise, maybe thousands or millions of years, we never know each other. The light of God, which is forever inside us, we never goes out, whether we know it or not. See, in case if you are still bothered about the name of the Supreme, actually it doesn't belong to me. I long already dedicated my everything to God. Therefore, this is not I who speak or who does anything. Ching Hai is the name of the body. Supreme Master is the name of God. Yes. And since it is stated that we are all children of God, so you can also call yourself the Supreme Master and added your name, Smith, Jones, Churchill, or whatever. Yes. It is not we call ourselves or be titled. It is how we feel about it. The humility doesn't come with a very humble title. It comes from within, when we all realize that we are all children of God, and we and the Father are one. That is where true humility begins. Many people do not call themselves the Supreme, but they feel supreme all the same. Anyhow, they rightly do so. We all have the supreme power inside. So whenever we pray the name of God, or we happen to come across any name that denotes the highest power in the universe, we should remember that is where we come from, and to that is where we belong. And that is our inheritance. This is our true nature. Sooner or later, all of us will realize that. And the more we realize this, the more humble we become. Therefore, when Christ said to us that I and my Father are one, it is the Father that does through me, we did not smell his ego. We do not smell his arrogance or pride. Is that not so? Do we feel that? No, not at all. But to someone on the street, or maybe our friends, or sometimes our acquaintance, they say something. They don't say that they are very great, but we smell very strongly the fragrance of arrogance. So this is not important, the name of the person. In Indian, it is a custom that the children were born and were given a very holy and great name. For example, Indra, some kind of godly name anyhow. Even though they were born into a lowly caste, or they have no spiritual background or spiritual discipline at all. It is because the parents and the people in India would like to their children and themselves to aspire for something higher than just the body, higher than just the name. And it is also good. I think in Jewish tradition also we have this. Huh? So Mr. God Love, or, right? Something like that. It is very, very nice. Now it is good if we have such a sounding name and holy aspiration. But it would be better if we ourselves realize our true godly nature. If we have always heard that the kingdom of God is within you, and that we are the temple of God, and God always dwells within us, then doesn't it strike us to wonder, where my God be? How I don't know him? Yes, we can come to know him, or her, if you think it's a feminine nature. We can know God through very, very sincere prayers, very deep, trance-like communion with the inner super nature. Or we can do it in a quicker way by following someone's method who has already found this so-called supreme inner nature. There are many ways to God, but there are quicker way, safer way, and there are longer way. What we can achieve through austerity and fasting, prayers, and silence for over a long period of time, we could achieve quickly, in 1 minute or 1 second even, through a correct and direct communion, if we know how. Or if through the power of someone who has experience in this field, they can help to pour us, give us a hand, and we are faster, quicker, and also we are looked after in a safer way while we are traveling into the kingdom of God with him. God is not something very far-fetched. And if we say God is love, it is true. Only if we know direct contact with God, then we truly can say God is love, because we will feel we will know, we will see the love of God every day in our daily activities, in our wishes come true, in our wisdom which blossom day and day. Now, like our friend Martin, he has not known me, and I don't personally direct him or direct his thinking or his ideal about how to express himself. But he practiced diligently. He sincerely wants to know the truth, so he improved. He met me the first time here yesterday. Yes, but all the time, of course, we have been in direct contact. Now, saying direct contact doesn't mean I sat in Hong Kong or Taiwan and then push in some buttons like that and directing who is thinking what. It is the direct contact with your inner supernature, superpower, or we call the kingdom of God, if you wish to put it that way. And then slowly, by improving like this, you become the Supreme Master, which is your own right, which is the aim of every human being. Because we have climbed the ladder up to now, and we have arrived at the highest peak in the creation. Should we not realize this, then of course we have to repeat our lessons again. And that's what people call transmigration or reincarnation. If we stop to think for a moment, in every scriptures from different religious standpoint, it is always stated that man has the highest position in the whole creation. So where is it? What is it that makes us deserve this so-called highest position? Is it because we are born a little bit different from the other beings in the kingdom of animals? It is because we know how to make airplane? Is it because we can raise children? Is it because we can work? What is it that makes us greater than other beings in the creation? It is the supreme power inside. It is the right and the ability to travel from heavens to heavens, from heaven to hell, from hell back to earth, from earth back to heaven at will, anytime. And it is the right, the privilege to choose where to be born in the next life, what to do in our daily life, where to go after death. It is these supreme quality that make us different from other creatures. But only if we know how to use it. I have learned to use it myself. Many of our fellow practitioners all over the world have learned to use it themselves. And we know the truth that is spoken in the Bible. We know the truth that was spoken in the Buddhist scriptures and Hindu scripture, etc. We realize it by inner experience, not by reading or reciting. Therefore, we would like to offer this to you, free of any condition and charge or any binding whatsoever, because we know you will enjoy it also. You will realize it. This is why we came to earth. This is why we are born as human. This is why we are different from other earthly creatures or other planets' creatures. Even that. some of the scientific research has suggested or maybe found some evidence of life in different other planets. Not yet for sure. But if we ourselves, using this supreme power, we can discover. And we will enjoy the whole universe as our leisure. Many people think that practicing kind of yoga or meditation is very difficult, and we have to isolate ourselves in some places, some temple or churches or Himalaya or something like that. This we may do if we want to, for a certain length of time. But it's not necessary for everyone, and it's not a prerequisite condition, is that right? Why? If everybody goes to the Himalaya, then what shall we do? Anyhow, Himalaya is not limitless. If all the Australian goes there, then, you know, we have traffic jams. And we have overpopulated problem. So we might just well stay in this beautiful landscape, which is a cause of envy of many nations. I forgot to say that you are living in a beautiful surrounding. Probably you know already. You know already. Here you have beautiful beach, lovely forest. I had a little tour yesterday, and I very much like to live here also, if God's given me the privilege to do, which He has granted to you. Your country is beautiful anywhere, not only here. Beautiful. But this is a very ideal place. You have mountain and you have sea at your door. And you feel very not oppressive, because you can escape any time to the sea. I like to live near the sea, because I feel like any time if something happens, I can escape. I used to feel like that. But now, anything happen, I just escape inside the kingdom of God, and there I am safe forever. Many people ask me, do you know, in the years of 2000, people predicted that we have, I'll say, apocalypse? So what will you do about it? What do you think about it? I say, I do nothing. I do nothing. And I don't think anything about it. Because when we die, our world ends anyhow, sooner or later. The eternal kingdom we have to find, not to try to protect this ephemeral world, even though we could do it. When I was in Hong Kong, about 10 or something years ago, I meditated in a temple. Because I happened to pass by and just stay in the temple through knowing a friend. I just sat there and I was thinking about the revelation in the Bible, that one day the world will kaput. And then I was very sad and I complained to God. I say, you don't have the right to do it. You have no right to make people suffer. Yeah? If you want to destroy the world, it's fine, but do it in 1 second. Because in the Bible, it describes a lot of suffering, you know, and a prolonged death, which is terrible. It's terrible. I say, you are God, you can't do that. Yeah? Why do you do that? You have to talk to the people and let people know something else greater than that. Let them change their way. Take it easy. Give them time. Give them more chance to behave themselves, to improve themselves. If you think the people here are not behaving properly, then you have to teach them. You have to find some way to teach them and make the world better. That's what I was arguing in some moment of emotional disturbance here. And so God said to me, okay, then you do it. So He put the trouble on my shoulders. I thought it was a joke, because at that time I wasn't having any disciple, And neither it crossed my mind that I will be a master or any kind like this one day. God said to me, all right, then you do it. You try. So that's it. And the vision vanished. And everything's gone back to normal. That was a long time ago. So today I would like to tell you, if truly you worry about the end of the world, then you do it. You improve the people, improve ourselves, improve our earth. Make everyone realize that God is the most important thing for us. God is that supreme wisdom within us. We have to look for it, use it to make us happy and to bless anyone that comes around us, visibly or invisibly, verbally or silently. It is not difficult. We have many children from the age of 6 who practice meditation, maybe 20 minutes a day, half an hour or so, because the children cannot sit very long, but some of them sit very long. Unintentionally, sometimes they sit for hours because they were in samadhi, in trance, in communion with God. While being aware of everything going on, they were also aware of the inner kingdom. And children have seen heaven. Children have directly communicate with Jesus, with Buddha, or whomever have affinity with them, or the masters of the past and the present, and maybe the future as well. If the children of 6 and 12 can do that, we also can. If I am such a small frame can do it, I'm sure you can do it double. Talking about size, yeah. You can do it with double strength and double success, maybe quicker. It is not I am sitting here and telling you that I'm better than you. No, I would like to tell you that you are the best. You are the greatest. And if you like to discover your greatness, it's very easy. It doesn't take that much long. At the time of initiation, you just sit there in quietness and just be willing to let me help you. And that's all you have to do, and then you experience immediately a little taste of enlightenment. Last 2 days or 3 days ago, I was in Sydney, and there was an old man of about 50 years old. Not very old, but I mean, he's not young like me. he was sitting there in the initiation session, and everyone was quiet just to sit there. And suddenly he cried very loud, uncontrollably. And he used his cloth to wipe his tears and nose and all that. It doesn't feel any embarrassment at all. So we give him some tissues, some paper, napkins. And so later, after the initiation's over, I asked him, why you make so much noise? He said, I can't believe it. It's incredible. It's incredible. You know, he was trying very hard to describe what he has seen and how he felt the blissfulness during the initiation, which lasts only half an hour, but he cried already just during the course, you know, because you can get immediate enlightenment. So he saw heavenly kingdom and he felt the bliss therewith, and he cried uncontrollably, like a baby, like a baby. And he never cried in his life. Many people do like that during initiation or during meditation afterward, because they can't believe that they can be so happy and just effortlessly. Any meditation or exercises or prayer which involve effort will also bear fruit at one time or another. But this effortless grace, amazing grace from heaven, we can have it just a second. All it requires is that We truly want to forsake the flesh for the spirit. We want to die so that we will begin to know life. All required is sincerity. We truly want to know God. We truly want to know our supreme power. And then, from that day, we are on our way. We progress higher and higher in the evolution until we are one with God, and then until we can say, I and my Father are one. It is not a purpose of any master to come to earth to tell people to worship them, even though people might do it in early days of their practice. They identify the master as their benefactor. But I always tell my fellow practitioners, that is, any miracles that happen to you, any wish fulfilled, anything you do better, any intelligence that you derive from your meditation is your superpower at work. It's your own greatness that awakens. Has nothing to do with the master. Well, it might have something to do because just a guide, you know. Sometimes when you don't know which direction to go, or you stumble, or you have a little obstacle, then the master just give you a lift. But that's all. Everything comes from yourself. You are the greatest master. Therefore, Jesus has promised us, whatever I do, you can do better. Didn't he not? Yes. So why we forget this? Why we always humble ourselves and pray for something that we don't know? Why don't we know first and pray? I have discovered this age-old ancient way to have direct communion with the kingdom of God. It's not my invention. This method, a so-called communion, direct hotline, is always available in this world, just from different places. Yesterday, one of our fellow practitioners asked me, or the day before, I forgot the time, he said, oh, Master, you have brought back this fantastic method of practice, and we have derived so much benefit from it. We don't know how to express all this, but we know it's wonderful. So why don't we organize something? We have to organize a lineage. So we continue to keep this method going on because it's beneficial to mankind. We're so enthusiastic, and they talk with all hands and feet and all that. We have to do it. We have to do it. And then I say, no, no, we don't need to. We don't need to. Whatever comes is God's arrangement. If we find a successor who is equally experienced in this path, who have traveled all the way up and down, and then can guide other souls up and down to the kingdom of God, then it's fine. And we continue to propagate this method. If not, it is no use. It's not the method. It is the experienced, how say, guide that is important. If you have a good car and know a good driver, it's not the car alone is the driver. So therefore, sometimes people wonder, why is that the lineage has been broken? For example, if Jesus had taught the same method, Buddha has taught the same method, why couldn't we find that in the Christian kingdom? Some people ask me. I say it is because sometimes it's like the river. It is that disappear into the earth and then, how say, appear in another corner of the world. It's not broken. It flows all the time from God, but it just changes direction sometimes. So suppose I'm a master, okay, suppose. And then I have not found any equally experienced student to pass on the successorship to continue to guide the souls back to the kingdom of God. Then okay, our lineage is kaput, finished this life. Yeah. Maybe people still derive some benefit from the power for maybe a few hundred years, but that's it, finished. And then people probably establish some Qinghaiism or make some church for me and put my bronze statue on it and worship. And that's finished with the path. And then it starts to be idol worship again. And no living connection inside. But that I can't help. I can't help. I won't be there to stop them. Even if I stop, I want to stop, it's not easy. You know it very well. Human strong will. So now suppose our lineage is finished, so-called broken. But in 100 years or 50 years later, some of my very young initiates probably continue practicing 50 years or 60 years later, he got enlightenment. From 6 years until 6 years old, maybe he arrived there. And then even without me, he became a master. Without my present guidance, he's still connected inside. And then he suddenly became master in another place. And then people would say, oh, it's a new one, new religion, a new tradition. It's not necessary so. Now, because we have a lot of communication through the media and the television and all that, so we can know who is going where and doing what. But in the old time, if you are disconnected from one country to the other, it's very difficult to communicate again. And then we might not know that the younger disciples has now reached maturity and then became a master of his or her own right. And then some other followers of the Qinghaiism, so-called Qinghaiism, suppose, and you look upon that one probably as a stranger. Followers doesn't mean disciples. Follower is the one who believes in a living grace of God through a master, and therefore derives some benefit personally or just for some immediate circles. Yeah, but not be able to be a master because has not been directly communicated with the master power, just through another mean. Therefore, initiation, it is to remind you of your greatest inheritance, and then you make use of your treasure every day instead of relying on any master at all, whether dead or alive. That is the purpose of our practicing method. And there's no other purpose beside that. We have so much suffering in this world, and we have a lot of unsuccessful adventure, and we blame maybe God sometimes for not blessing us. But actually, we should blame ourselves for not making use of the power that God has given us since time immemorial. Because of not using this power, we are still here. Because of not using this power, we are suffering, or we see the suffering around us. Because of not using this power, we have wars with one another. Only when we use this power, then we truly have everlasting peace. But it is also better that even some portion of the world population use this power. Is already very, very uplifting for our earth. Otherwise, it would become hell. Hell is the place where no light can penetrate. Where the people completely forget the kingdom of God, forget their supreme position in the universe, and undergo untold suffering from their own illusionary conscience. They punish themselves because they think they are guilty. The people who are enlightened do not think of guilt as such. They will see everything as a drama, a play from God, and therefore they try to play accordingly. even if they have to undergo suffering as other people, their spiritual power is so strong that they do not feel much effect. Therefore, Jesus, while in such tremendous, painful situation, he still be himself. He's still very centered. And not pray for himself, but pray for others. Pray to the Father to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And forgive and bless the fellow next to him, that he may know God. This is the greatness of Jesus, because he remained always even in any situation. That greatness also lies within us. That's what makes the saints different from us. That's what makes us worship all the saintly personage throughout the ages. But it is better that we become one, like them. And then we can truly worship them, because we truly understand their greatness. Otherwise, we only understand intellectually, literally, but we do not know, we do not realize it. And we couldn't make use of this greatness to benefit ourselves, benefit our relatives and friends, and benefit the world at large. So we would like to invite you to try to remember your greatness, because you're not born to die. You're not born just to undergo stress at work and responsibility of raising children alone. You're born to know the greatness of our Father. We are born to bless the world with our knowledge of this supreme power within. We are not born just a few decades and then die. Ways of our human life, ways of God's creative power, ways of our heroic ideals inside our heart. We have to realize what we dream. We have to do what we wish to do. And if we haven't done it, we will do it now. Through our supreme wisdom, not through our habitual thinking and organization. Everything we learn with human intellect, with human system, is only be useful at a human level. If we want to be greater than that, we have to learn something superhuman, which we have. The human body is not only our apparatus, only our office. It's not our real self. Otherwise, somebody lie there dead, you can't make him eat. You can't make him speak. You can't make him think, even though his brain is still there. His heart is still there, but it doesn't pump anymore. What makes the body function? That is a supreme power. We make use of it before it's too late. Before we have to undergo suffering again of birth, death, and old age to relearn all this from ABC. It's all right if you want to come back and learn. But if you do not want to, if you want to begin right now, we sincerely invite you, with all love and nothing else, no money, no fee, now, before, after, between, and after death even, no fee at all. And truly, the Master Power will help you all the way through until you reach heaven, and never leave you or forsake you to the end of the world. So it's up to you to make choice. And I leave time for your question. Thank you for your loving attention.
What do the nations have to do to stop killing each other?
Very good question. Very good question. People make war with each other because they identify too much with the bodies, with the immediate needs of the bodies, with all the demands from the bodies. Therefore, they kill each other. The only and the best solution is to find a way to realize that we are not the body. Therefore, no one opposes us, and we are in no danger economically or politically. Enlightenment is the only answer. I mean, enlightenment is the true answer and the lasting answer. Otherwise, we keep continuing identify with the bodies. Therefore, we try to fulfill the needs of the body, for we worry that other people will come and steal our crops, take our wives, or invade our nation. Some nations make war with each other because they want to expand their economical power. And in order to feed their overpopulated country, they make war with another nation to gain more land, to gain more, economical market, etc. It all has to do with the body. Even though we say it is the difference between idealism, but it's all amounted to bodily demand. So therefore, if we are enlightened at all, then these wars will stop by themselves. We will realize truly the brotherhood of mankind. Yes.
Where did you get your spiritual knowledge from?
From inside. From inside. Where I get the knowledge from, you can get. Maybe you need a teacher in the beginning just to show you how, or to avoid some pitfalls and where to pay attention, but that's all. But the knowledge all inside you. You just have to take some time every day to discover it and make use of it. Suppose you have a big storeroom and inside they're full of wheat flowers and you never have time to look into it. Just stay outside and busy thinking, I'm hungry. I never know how to make use of the wheat flowers in the storeroom. Then it is no good. All the knowledge lies within us. That's where I get them from.
Thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on You Are the Supreme Master. And now, stay tuned for the amazing Golden Age technology coming up next on Supreme Master Television. We wish you an uplifting and beautiful day.